Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave. He is Pastor Jeff.
That's me.
And we are from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
We'd love to have you come out because we are so excited about what God's doing here.
Amen.
Through all kinds of different people. They look different. They act different.
Mm-hmm.
They smell different.
They are different. Amen.
I have different tattoos. Some people don't even have tattoos. How weird is that?
That is strange.
And you can come on out to Revolution Church no matter what you look like. We'd love to have you out here. We are really interested in pursuing God no matter what's going on in your life. We know that we've all done stupid stuff. We're not here to judge. We're just here to bring you closer to Jesus. But hey, today we're talking about a pretty serious topic. There's been a lot of hurricanes in the news lately.
Right?
Some massive ones. It's
crazy.
Terrible destruction. Dave, you actually flew through Georgia.
Yeah.
During Irma.
Yeah, when Irma was knocking on Atlanta's door, I flew in going on the way to Pennsylvania. Why they flew me down to Atlanta to go to Pennsylvania, I will never know.
Every time.
But the flight in was really bumpy, and the first time I ever got queasy on the plane, the airport was virtually empty, and it was just nuts.
Yeah, so I'm glad you made it back.
Yeah,
thank but,
me
not,
too.
Not everybody made it. I mean, there was loss of life. And so what, I mean, hurricanes, is this part of God's plan? Is this an accident? What's going on
right
here? So we're bringing on our specialist, Dr. Hugh Ross. Dave, right. Tell us a little bit about who he is.
Astronomer and best-selling author Hugh Ross travels the globe, speaking on the compatibility of advancing scientific discoveries with the timeless truths of Christianity. His organization, Reasons to Believe, is dedicated to demonstrating via a variety of resources and events that science and biblical faith are allies,
yes,
not enemies.
Ta-da!
Right.
All right. So, hey, welcome, Dr. Ross, to the show. I'm so glad you could be here.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
So it's so good to have you. Hey, so you're an astronomer, but you've done a lot of research in the area of the Earth and even hurricanes. Tell us a little bit about not just how you got started studying in astronomy, but how you kind of moved into this area of study.
Well, I got moved into it realizing that God has his reasons for establishing a universe with gravity, electromagnetism, thermodynamics, the strong and weak nuclear force. And one of the results of those is that you're going to have things like hurricanes, and you're going to have earthquakes, tornadoes, you're going to have wildfires. But that God has designed our solar system, especially our planet Earth, in such a way that these hurricanes and earthquakes and wildfires are all optimized to benefit human beings and human civilization. And say, well, couldn't God just change the laws of physics and we wouldn't have any hurricanes? He could do that. But now we'd have a universe without thermodynamics, without gravity, without electromagnetism. And as I explain in a book I wrote, Why the Universe is the Way It Is, those laws of physics and the way they're fine-tuned are crucial to act as a powerful restraint against the expression of human sin and evil. And as long as sin and evil exists, God establishes that gravity, thermodynamics, and electromagnetism will exist. Mm. But in spite of the fact that those physical laws bring events like hurricanes all about, we live on a planet has been designed by God so that those hurricanes are maximally beneficial for us human beings. So I understand as a physicist, for example, how things would be much worse for us human beings if there were no hurricanes at all. I mean, another way to get rid of the hurricanes, just have the Earth rotate really slowly or change the atmosphere. But now we human beings wouldn't be able to live on the planet.
Mm.
So what I've come to recognize is based on these laws of physics, we live on a planet with the optimal number and intensity of hurricanes and typhoons. And I think people living in Southeast Asia have a better appreciation for these, what they call typhoons, another word for hurricanes, because they recognize how much their agricultural productivity depends upon what they call the monsoon season, where you get this rush of hurricanes that bring enough water that they can grow the food they need to feed billions of human beings.
Now that's fascinating because so they recognize right off the bat how important these things are. We just see people's homes being destroyed. Mm-hmm. And so there's a big difference in perspective there. But what's interesting, I mean, you're saying this brings maximal benefit to the human race. I know there's some people who are going to hear that and they're going to say, that's crazy talk. Don't you know how many people died? And on one hand, you know, we can say, okay, well, this is the problem of evil, and, you know, we know In Genesis, God spoke to Adam. He said, cursed is the ground because of you, because of your sin. So, I mean, we've had people on the show to talk about that, how just, man, God cursing the earth, not God cursing, but the earth being cursed because of our sin will bring about all kinds of painful things, hurricanes, thorns, thistles. So that, this is a result of that. But I like where you're going with this, where it's this is actually a design element by God to increase human product or to increase the benefit to humankind. Speak a little bit more into that. What benefits precisely do hurricanes have? So it helps the crops in Asia, but is there anything else? Is it just that we can now grow rice?
Well, one of the big benefits that we see with hurricanes striking the United States is that it acts as a thermostat. What hurricanes do is they take this hot ocean water, they cool it down and transport that tropical heat into the temperate zones. Because notice the hurricanes and typhoons tend to go south to north in the northern hemisphere.
Yeah.
And so this helps regulate the temperature of our planet. Hmm. Now, if it wasn't for these big hurricanes, the tropical oceans would get so warm that they'd become oxygen depleted and warm enough that the lack of oxygen and the heat would kill off all the fish that are there. And so you'd basically be destroying the food stocks of the oceans. And that would impact humanity a whole lot worse than having a lot of rain drop on Florida once in a while. Although I'm glad you mentioned the fact that, you know, cursed is the ground because of you. We human beings have taken this optimized planet that God has given us, and because of our sin and evil, we've made it worse. One of the words of Jesus was, don't build your house on a sand. And what I notice is that before the white man came to North America, the native Indians avoided the east coast of Florida because they knew that's where the hurricanes hit. What do we do instead? We take elderly people who have physical infirmities, we put them in mobile homes on the east coast of the beaches of Florida, and we wonder why we got problems when hurricanes hit. I mean, that to me is a classic example of building your house on the sand and putting the most vulnerable people in those homes.
Right. I hate to laugh at that.
It's just so true.
But, yeah, but it is. It's the folly of man. We do what we want. You know what I mean? Hey, it's our planet. We do what we want.
We
right?
do what we want.
Yeah, and in doing so, we become ignorant because we don't look at what the dangers are. The Native Americans stay clear away from it. That should have been our first clue.
Yeah, really. That is so powerful. Yeah, the Native Americans stayed away from it. They recognized, hey, disasters happen here. Let's not go mm-hmm. there. If I were to take, I've got 7 kids. Right. If I were to take my 3 youngest children and put them in a room with a loaded gun, and one of them accidentally pulled the trigger and was injured or killed, nobody would say, why did God allow that? Right. They'd say, why did you put a loaded gun in a room with kids? What's wrong with you?
Absolutely.
And maybe we need to start asking the question that was just brought up, not why would God allow this, but God set this sort of system up billions of years ago.
Right.
Why would we put people who are elderly and infirm in locations where they're going to be bombarded by weather that they can't handle? That's a great point, Dr. Ross.
Well, there's other benefits we get from hurricanes as well. They act as a thermostat, which preserves the fish stocks of the ocean, also preserves the plant, the photosynthetic life in the oceans. And then hurricanes bring a huge store of chlorophyll to the seashores
of
temperate parts of our planet. And that benefits the sea life that are existing on the sea floors that are close to the coast. And then we get rain. I mean, we complain about the fact that look at all the rain that fell on Houston. They got a lot in a short order, but it's thanks to these hurricanes and tropical storms that we get sufficient precipitation that, again, we can grow the food stocks that we grow here in North America. So, yes, sometimes it brings too much rain, but what if we had none of these hurricanes at all? Then we would have a shortage of the precipitation that we need. Wow. And as I mentioned before, it's especially appreciated in Asia, particularly Southeast Asia, because they depend upon these storms to bring them the water they need to grow their crops.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, okay, you brought up another question in my mind. I want to come back to the benefit that hurricanes bring to Earth, but you said that they decrease the temperature in the ocean. Now, I was doing some reading, and they were saying that the increased temperature in the ocean, i.e. global warming, is what causes more hurricanes. Is what you're saying compatible with that, or is that something different than that?
It is compatible with that in the sense that if you overheat the tropical ocean waters, it will cause a hurricane to form. And once that hurricane forms, it takes away that tropical ocean water heat, and that takes it north and typically drops a lot of rain when it hits landfall. And so, yeah, the more we heat the tropical waters, the more we can expect we're going to get larger and more frequent hurricanes. So again, that's an issue about human management of the planet. You know, Genesis 1, God told Adam and his descendants, manage the planet for your benefit and the benefit of all life. Mm. And so we need to take that into account. What are we doing in terms of managing the planet to make sure it enhances our well-being, but also the well-being of, say, all the life that's in the oceans and the wildlife that's on the land, and now where we decide to put elderly people in mobile homes?
Right. That's a really good question. Is the ocean temperature getting warmer compared to what it used to be? Is this a real thing?
Well, I think one of the more indisputable evidences of that is what's happened to the polar ice cap. I mean, just in my lifetime, the polar ice cap has shrunk by a factor of two. It's such that when I was a child, I was taught there'll never be ships that can do the Northwest Passage. Well, now large freighters and tankers are going through the Northwest Passage because the ice that was there is now gone. Huh. And so, the fact that we're pumping more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere inevitably will raise the temperature. I mean, what's unknown is the time constant. What's the time differential between pumping carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and where we see the warming effect of the planet? But if all you do is look at the deep ice cores that we have drilled in Antarctica and the sediment cores in the marine sediments, we can see there's a direct correlation between the quantity of greenhouse gases you put in the atmosphere and the temperature of the planet. Mm. Again, what's unknown is the time constant. There might be a 100-year delay. It might be a 20-year delay. We simply haven't worked that out yet.
Okay, that's interesting.
No doubt that the polar oceans are warmer than they used to be.
Yeah. Now, is that always a bad thing? I mean, I think back to what people often call the Dark Ages, where Earth was a little bit cooler and some warming happened, and suddenly people were able to produce better farms. They were able to travel better. Is there any indication that getting warmer might even be a little bit better for the planet, or is that not the case at all?
Well, it could be better for parts of the planet. Yeah, you're right. There was a warming episode in the Middle Ages where the people in Britain could grow grapes and make wine. So it became warm enough there that they could do that. But the problem is it makes other parts of the planet that are already warm, really warm. And we're starting to see that today, that towards the tropics, and particularly desert tropics, you're getting temperatures that are actually causing people to die. Mm. Average temperature on a really hot summer day is 5 to 10 degrees warmer than it was, say, 30, 40 years ago.
Interesting. Okay, now that's interesting. Okay, so let's go back to the hurricanes a little bit. So you said one of the benefits is that they bring chlorophyll up to the surface. I'm not a scientist, but that doesn't sound good to me. Tell me why that's a benefit.
Well, okay, they're based because the tropical oceans are with these photosynthetic
light. You know what? I'm so sorry. We're coming up to a break. I'm gonna have to get that on the other side of the break.
Way to go, get them started and then stop them. Nice. Cliffhanger.
I'm just mean. That was just rude. I'm so sorry. Okay. Well, maybe we got everybody waiting. They're holding their breath.
There you go.
Why is chloroform good? In the meantime,
chlorophyll.
Whatever it is. Someone order something poisonous for me. I'm going to put it in Dave's office.
Right.
All right. We're gonna do something good with this. All right. So we're going to come back on the other side of this break. We're going to talk more about hurricanes. Mm-hmm. We're also going to answer Bible contradiction. Right. In the meantime, what should they do?
They should go to truthrevolution.tv.
Ah.
Or even think about going to revo.church.
Revo.church. That's our website for the church.
Yep.
You can go to truthrevolution.tv. You can also go to reasons.org. Dr. Hugh Ross is from Reasons to Believe. You can grab their books. He mentioned one of the books he's written. He's written a ton of stuff. Got a bunch of books in them right here. We're going to link to them. Reasons.org. Great organization. We'll be right back. Some Christians treat the love of God like something to be reflected, like a mirror. It hits them and immediately goes out, but the problem is they don't feel it. Some treat God's love like a coat. They feel the warmth, but it never goes anywhere else. I like to think of it like a battery. We soak up the love of Jesus, but that energy and love is meant to be used for something else. We receive the love from God, and it translates into taking care of orphans and widows and foster kids. Be a battery for Jesus.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, "This show changed my life. I love Jesus."
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Why should you go to church?
You know, Jesus said we should be the church.
But before then, the word church was used for business meetings. If you were there, you're part of the church because you were doing the work.
Jesus didn't say, "Hey everyone, show up for an hour and hang out."
Not at all. He said, "Be my church."
Meaning, if you follow me, you should get together with other people who follow me and work together. So church is us coming together to do God's work together.
www.revo.church.
That's revo.church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
One skeptic gave reasons to reject Jesus' divinity. A major point was Jesus' failure to recruit anyone from his own family.
Well, it's true that at one point Jesus' family thought he was crazy.
Mark 3:21 tells us, "When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, 'He is out of his mind.'"
But it didn't stay that way.
The book of James was written by someone pretty important.
I'll say it was written by Jesus' brother. One whole book in the Bible was written by a family member of his.
James says he is, quote, "a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ." James 1:1.
Think about what it would take to convince you that your brother or sister was God.
It would take a lot.
No kidding. And it took a lot for James. He initially didn't believe, but after Jesus' death and resurrection, he appeared to James, 1 Corinthians 15:7. And that made all the difference for James.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit hopehouseks.org.
That's HopeHouseKS.org.
Truth Revolution.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Hugh Ross today from Reasons to Believe about hurricanes being good. And we're not talking about the football team in Miami. We're talking about hurricanes in the ocean.
In Miami.
In Miami.
So that is kind of ironic that they named a football team after the natural disaster that...
Not ironic. I think it was a power thing.
Power thing?
Yeah, you know, like Wildcat. Hurricane.
Well, it'd be kind of like us in Kansas naming one of our teams the Tornadoes.
Right.
Or the Twisters or something.
Right, yeah.
Or the Cyclones.
And they're, well, Iowa State Cyclones, so.
Yeah, so, okay, anyway, it is ironic, nevertheless, mm-hmm. but yeah, what we've found so far is that hurricanes benefit planet Earth.
Right.
We just happen to put people in the path of hurricanes.
Right, it's like if we were living in a big clock and we ran out of space living on the fringes, and then we had to move people into the gears, right?
Right.
And then we wondered, oh, why are people dying? Well, because you're putting them in the gears,
yeah.
And the machine's killing them.
Yeah, exactly. So we purposely moved people. A lot of the elderly people moved to these hurricane zones, and then we wonder why this happens. And the Native Americans wouldn't live on the eastal coastal area of Florida, so right. That was really interesting to know. Dr. Ross, let's get back to this. Now, what was it, chloroform, chlorophyll? What was it that the ocean hurricanes brought up?
Yeah, chlorophyll is the good stuff. You don't want to be moving chloroform.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, I mean, 70% of the plant tissue on the face of the earth or the vegetation is what we call cyanobacteria. That's 70% of the life on planet Earth. These are basically photosynthetic bacteria in the oceans. And so a hurricane will massively disturb those cyanobacteria colonies. and basically move them or the beat up components of them and move them into the temperate zones. And so when you get a hurricane, you get a fresh delivery of this debris from these broken up bacterial communities, and that provides a food supply for the life that's living in those coastal zones and the temperate regions.
What kind of life? Well,
Florida benefits from that, for example, because they get this fresh delivery of material thanks to hurricanes. And so it benefits the shallow sea life around Florida, and other parts like Georgia would benefit from that as well. Hmm. And you especially see that in Southeast Asia, where they actually have a whole industry of farming shellfish and other sea life, all thanks to the fact that they have this regular delivery thanks to the typhoons.
Wow, that's fascinating.
It is.
I didn't have any idea.
I'm going to look at a hurricane totally different from here on out.
Yeah, really. Why? I mean, obviously, people want to move to Florida because it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And this is going to be kind of theoretical, but why do you think people move into these zones where these natural disasters? They weren't disasters until we went there. Until these natural events were occurring. And then they look at God and they shake their fists as though God is doing this to them on purpose.
Well, I mean, beach property is always very expensive to purchase. People like to live at the beach, but there's certain consequences of living at the beach. If you get a tsunami, your house is probably going to go out in the ocean. If you get a hurricane, you're probably going to get flooded out. And so if you insist on building, quote, your house in the sand, you want to drive deep concrete reinforced pylons into that sand down deep, have your home elevated above the surge level. I mean, I've got relatives that live in Florida, and I know you pay a pretty price for flood insurance if your home is less than 10 feet above sea level.
Really?
Because if a 15-foot high surge comes in from a hurricane, your house is going to get wiped out. And so there's a motivation right there. Why don't you live in a place in Florida where you're 25 feet above sea level? The problem is, I think most of Florida is below 25 feet above sea level.
Right.
So that's an enigma. Why do we have such an enormous population in Florida when it's such a dangerous place to live? Well, it's also because, as you mentioned, really beautiful. People like being by the beach. You know, when it's not hurricane season, it's a great place to live.
That's cool. We're going to do Bible Contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
After this, I want to get into some of these other natural disasters because it's not just hurricanes that hurt human beings.
So. Bible Contradiction.
All right, Bible Contradiction today brought to you by 1001BibleContradictions.com.
Okay.
So is a fetus or is it not a human being? Okay, so track with me here.
Okay.
Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee."
All right, so it's a human. God knew us.
Right. Absolutely. And Exodus 21:22, though, says, "If men quarrel and one strike a woman with child and she miscarry indeed but live herself, he shall be answerable for so much damage as the woman's husband shall require and his arbiter shall award. But if her death ensue thereupon, he shall render life for life." So basically, it's not even giving much account to the child in the belly.
Not even hardly counting the life.
Right.
So, well, first thing, this translation that the 1001 Bible Contradictions is quoting is the Dewey Rames translation.
Okay.
This is not a good translation.
Gotcha.
Exodus 21:22 in a more modern translation says, "If people are fighting and hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined."
Gotcha.
So that's the E in our cracked acronym for early meaning.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the Hebrew, this really most likely has more to do with causing premature birth than death. So that's a massive thing. This is giving birth prematurely without much serious injury. However, there are some translations that do say miscarriage. So even if this were miscarriage, there's still an answer for this. We want to look at the C for context, the cultural context, and the K for knit together, how you read these verses together. Okay, so let's take these verses together. All right, first of all, we read in Jeremiah that this is real life. Okay, this baby is a human. This is important to God. But also understand that there is a cultural context. There's something culturally going on here. And I think one of the things, we don't have time to go into everything, but one of the things is that miscarriage and stillbirth was a common event back then. You know, the Mayo Clinic today says miscarriage happens about 10 to 20% of known pregnancies.
Wow.
10 to 20%. But the actual number is likely higher because many miscarriages occur so early in pregnancy, women don't even realize she's pregnant. So this is 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how many miscarriages there were 3,000, right. 6,000 years ago.
Yeah, without advanced medical science.
Right. The National Center for Biotechnology and Information had an article that reported that stillbirth in developing countries right now, it just is as much as 5% of all births.
Crazy.
All births. And just imagine that what this would have been like 3,000, 4,000, mm-hmm. 5,000, 6,000 years ago, how many births were stillborn or miscarried? This was a common thing.
Right.
This wasn't like one out of a million births are stillborn. This is normal, understandable. And so this is looking at an accident that results in a miscarriage, which is something that happens on a fairly regular basis right. in that culture. And then the third thing, John Calvin, a theologian who was born in 1500s, writes about this verse, and he says that the death penalty is actually applied to the fetus, to the people who kill the fetus, and we're just reading it wrong.
Right.
And he was interpreting this before Planned Parenthood existed. Right. So this wasn't political on his part. He's just saying, as a theologian, he's reading this and he's saying, no, the death penalty applies to anyone who even kills the fetus in the womb. So those are three possible answers for this. Dr. Ross, I'd love to get your take on this. You have any additional thoughts?
Well, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that tell us that human life begins at the point of conception. David in Psalm 51 says he was a sinner from the time he was conceived.
Mm.
So evidently, that's when we become a spiritual being. And once we're a spiritual being, we are a human being. So yeah, I think it's very difficult to take anything other than a pro-life stance on what the Bible says about us human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can feel a heartbeat literally from 18 days after conception. So there really is a person there. It's just that we're not able to see it. But I really like the fact that we got sonograms that actually show you that life inside the womb.
Yeah.
Amen.
Beautiful stuff. That's our answer today.
Bible contradiction.
All right. So now what about other natural disasters?
Other natural disasters. Because hurricanes aren't the only one.
Right.
Let's talk about forest fires. Okay, Dr. Ross, everybody knows that you need a forest fire to create more forest. I mean, you hear that, you know what I'm talking
about,
right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And so, I mean, everyone's heard that. But, I mean, are there any other benefits to forest fires? I mean, we see this as a pretty big natural disaster. There's a lot of them going on in California right now. I have some friends out there who fires very close to them in their homes. So what about forest fires?
For example, there are trees that are more resistant to forest fires than other trees. You wouldn't have redwoods in California, for example, if it wasn't for regular natural forest fires.
Mm.
Because if you have no forest fires, the hemlocks are going to crowd out the redwoods. But thanks to regular fires, the hemlocks don't wind up preventing other trees from being able to survive in the ecosystem.
Huh.
And the real benefit is that forest fires and grass fires bring charcoal to the soil. And that charcoal conditions the soil, which is important, especially for the more advanced flowering plants. You need that regular delivery of charcoal. And so ecologists have now recognized, depending where you live, you want to have fairly regular natural fires. You know, I live in Southern California. The optimal rate of fires is about once every 8 years for every forest district.
Huh.
So, for example, if we go 20, 30 years without a forest fire, when you do get a fire, it's destructive to the land, it's destructive to the animals that live there, and it's a lot harder to put out the fire.
Wow.
And so, thank God for natural forests and grass fires.
That's amazing.
To have the oxygen content in the atmosphere that is at the optimal level to make sure we don't get too many of these fires or too few of these fires. So thank God we have 21% oxygen in our atmosphere.
Right. Again, perfect design.
Uh-huh.
Very, very detailed, very, very specific. All right, we're coming up to the end of the show. If you're listening on the radio, if you're on the podcast, we're going to come back doing a little bit more. I'm going to ask about tornadoes, our home state.
Yeah, what's up with that? Tell me those are good things.
I was about to say we don't like tornadoes, but the reality is every time there's a tornado, everyone goes outside.
I know, everybody goes
looks.
Outside and gawks.
But, so we'll be right back. We're gonna ask Dr. Ross about tornadoes, if there's anything there or not. And then we'll get out of here. But hey, truthrevolution.tv, got to sign up for the podcast. listen online, or watch on YouTube. Come out to Revolution Church. We'll be right back.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back on the podcast. We just got done talking about hurricanes, and now we're going to talk about tornadoes, maybe?
Well, at least I'm going to ask. I can't imagine any benefit coming from tornadoes.
Other than they're cool looking.
Very cool videos is the only one. Have you ever saw a tornado in real life?
No. I have lived in Kansas probably about 75% of my life, and I've never seen a tornado.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I've lived probably over 30 years, over 30 years in Kansas. Never seen one. I've been hit by tornadoes, but one hit my house. We actually
had. And you didn't see you were inside.
We actually had some missionaries staying at our houses. They were passing through.
Mm-hmm.
They were from Canada. They said, "We've never seen a tornado, eh? We're going to pray a tornado hits you." I'm not doing a very good impression, are I?
No.
Am I? They said, "We're going to pray a tornado hits a house, eh?" And we were like, "That's a really bad idea." They're like, "No, we want to see it." Well, they prayed that a tornado would hit the house. And that night, about 2 in the morning, a train starts hitting the house. And if you don't know, it sounds like a train when a tornado comes. And they wake up, they hit their knees, and they're praying, "God, forgive us for praying for this." And a tornado really did come through, ripped the trees out of the ground.
Yeah.
The roots were intertwined with each other.
Wow.
It took the rug mat from the front of our house, threw it 100 yards behind the house. But then it did a really weird thing. We had a grill in the backyard. Where it had picked up some stuff, thrown things 100 yards. It left this little grill with a little brush on it just sitting perfectly. It didn't even move an inch.
Isn't that crazy?
It's just fascinating. It's nuts. So, Dr. Ross, is there any benefit from tornadoes that you're aware of?
Well, they also act as a thermostat. And
really?
So the American prairie would have some really hot problems if it wasn't for it. Because you know when a big tornado hits, it gets really dark.
Yes.
And you notice how the temperature drops. And so there's a big cooling effect when you get a tornado, and you can get rain, which is beneficial for, I mean, after all, Kansas would be really short of precipitation if it wasn't for the kinds of weather systems that generate tornadoes.
Yeah.
So it's not just the tornado itself, it's the weather system that's associated with a tornado that can bring you benefits. But one thing we need to realize, I live in California where we got earthquakes.
Right.
And, earthquakes are good because they make mountains and they recycle the nutrients that are crucial for advanced life. So I have to keep reminding my fellow Californians, this is a good thing. But we should be prepared. And so, for example, we live in California, where you live in Kansas, you've got building codes that are designed to take into account that tornadoes are going to happen once in a while.
Yeah.
And so your homes are actually structurally built to be much stronger than homes, say, in New England. But we need to recognize that we Americans live in the most disaster-prone nation in the entire world.
Wow.
For example, the prairies of the United States get 80% of the world's tornadoes, which means as Americans, we need to be prepared.
Yeah.
We get earthquakes, we get tornadoes, we get hurricanes. And I think one of the sad commentaries in our country, we have a $20 trillion national debt. What we should have instead is a $6 trillion surplus that we reserve for taking care of the inevitable disasters that are going to hit our nation.
Wow.
I mean, what concerns me is one of the most earthquake disaster-prone areas is not California. We may get a magnitude 8, but Missouri could get a magnitude 9.
Wow.
And the last time that fault slipped, it rang all the church bells in Boston. It would devastate several states. And literally would bankrupt our nation. And guess what, guys? It's overdue to slip again.
Thanks for that news there.
Our fault zone just off of Seattle and Portland. And that's overdue. And we're talking, again, another magnitude 9 earthquake. And the building codes there are such that you would have huge damage throughout Vancouver, Portland, and Seattle and Tacoma. They're not prepared. And so I think as Americans, we need to realize, yes, we live on a planet where these disasters have been optimized for our benefit, but we're building our houses on sand. Mm-hmm. We need to do what we can to prepare for the future. And much worse disasters are going to hit America than what we've seen in the last 100 years. They're coming.
Mm, you know,
just a matter of time.
It's fascinating.
Just a matter of time before a big tornado goes through downtown Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Just the broken glass alone would cause huge loss of life, never mind the financial damage.
Wow. I mean, as you speak of this, I'm just thinking, it's so fascinating and kind of angering that, mm-hmm. Infuriating that we know these disasters will, not might, but will happen at some point. We know what they will and can be, right. But we just refuse to prepare for them, even though God has given us the knowledge to study and understand what will happen.
Well, if you think about it, it's much the same as our salvation. Mm. We see salvation coming at us like a freight train, and many people refuse to do anything. It's like when I was a child, when I was a young adult, I put that off. I knew that there was a God. I knew that my salvation was on the line, but I lived the way I wanted to live because I like living the way I wanted to live, and I wasn't preparing for the future.
Yeah.
And that inevitability will come.
And a lot of you listening right now may say, yeah, I know God exists. I think it's interesting to think about, which is why you listen to this show. But you maybe really haven't made that commitment to Jesus Christ. You haven't chosen to follow him. And you really aren't in that type of relationship that produces life right. in you. And it's because you think, you know what, this long way off. God and beyond understanding. You know, I don't think... But that's not what God says. Nowhere in Scripture does God say, hey, you and me got an understanding. It's okay. Just put it off. Right. In fact, God says to anyone who thinks like that, you foolish person, this very night your life will be taken from right. you. Then what will you do with all the things you stored up for yourself? Mm-hmm. And this is the type of thinking we want to have. God may take my life tonight. Am I prepared tonight? Just like God may bring a tornado to Kansas, he may bring a hurricane to Florida. Are we prepared physically, but also are we prepared spiritually?
Amen.
So that hey, Dr. Ross, is there anything else you want to add on the show today?
That's a great ending to the show, guys. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have done it better, so yeah. Thank you.
Hey, if you're interested in this stuff, Dr. Ross has written a book called More Than a Theory, and it's specifically about the topic we were covering today. Right. You want to tell us just a little bit more about it before we get out of here?
Well, basically, it's a book that says if we're going to engage non-Christians, we need to show them scientifically that we have a more comprehensive explanation for why the universe, Earth, and Earth's life looks the way it does, and that our biblical creation model is more successful in predicting future scientific discoveries. Mm. But one of the chapters I put in is, what about natural disasters? Because that's one thing non-Christians say. If there's a God out there, why would he design things so we get natural disasters? And so I actually address that, saying, well, God's got a very good reason for making gravity the way he did, electromagnetism. Those are tools he uses to eliminate evil and suffering. Mm. And don't you want a God that's going to eliminate evil and suffering while enhancing our capacity for free will and our ability to receive and give love? I mean, that's one of the desires of all human beings. God gave us exactly the physics to make that happen. I cover that in detail and why the universe is the way it is. But one of the outcomes is you're going to get fires, you're going to get hurricanes, you're going to get earthquakes. But God has designed them in such a way that every one of them is optimized, where we get exactly the right number and frequency and intensity of each of these disasters to make our life optimal on the condition we're wise about how we manage the planet for the benefit of ourselves and the benefit of all life.
Awesome. And that is the book, More Than a Theory. We're going to link to that
right.
at truthrevolution.tv. Thanks again for being on the show, Dr. Ross. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Oh, you're very welcome.